know, I'm still learning. Waiting is one of those necessary exercises in the Christian life. And I would encourage you, if you don't, when you have your time alone with God, if you're not spending some time waiting, even if you just start with 3 minutes and just being still. Now, I will admit to you, when I do that, I typically have to bring my mind back over and over. It's, you know, it's not necessarily like, oh, and I just hear God speaking and the angels singing. You know, usually it is a work in progress the whole time that I'm waiting. Sometimes I hear verses and I'll read, you know, a psalm that God puts on my heart or a verse that God brings to my mind. Sometimes God speaks. Sometimes it's just an act of obedience. But the cool thing, when Rick showed the Karate Kid this morning, you guys can come on up. When Rick showed the Karate Kid, one of the things that God taught me about that from the Karate Kid movie is that, you know, all that time that he was painting the fence and waxing on and waxing off and all of that stuff. If you watch the movie, you know, he is quite annoyed because he really thinks that Mr. Miyagi has just turned him into his slave to wash all his cars and wax all his cars and paint his fence and, you know, do all of that stuff. But this is the neat thing to me. He did all of that because he spent all day. Most of the jobs were not like, he didn't wash one car. If you've seen the movie, he washed like a whole lot full of cars. He didn't just paint a thing on the fence. And sometimes this is what we want God to do. We want to practice self-control one time or wait for 1 minute or fast for 1 hour one time. And we go, oh, God, what more do you want from me? Like, I sacrificed for you. And the thing is that when if you've ever learned to do anything, the cool thing, if you practice, is that what begins to happen is you get muscle memory. Like, your muscles just know what to do. That's why when I really learned to play the piano, I took lessons. My parents made me practice, which I am extremely grateful for now. But when I was in college and I would go and I would just go in, there were these little rooms that was just a piano. And I would just play and worship. And it was like God just added to what I had during that time. But the cool thing was I already knew how to do scales up and down the piano because I had been forced to practice them. And so there is a level of muscle memory that you get from practice. There's also strength. Like, I can play with my hand all the way extended like this because I've done it for so long. This, I believe, is what happens in the Christian life. Some of the things when God says, be nice to that person again, yes, they get on your nerves and you don't want to be nice to them. And it requires an extreme amount of effort on your part just not to speak your mind and, you know, read them off every time you see them. But if we will understand, everything in life, God uses as an opportunity to grow us in character. And just like Mr. Miyagi, as he's painting the fence, as he's waxing on and waxing off, we got to see the cool part when Mr. Miyagi said, you know, waxed on, and he said strong. Because of all of that work that he had done, the muscle was already built. Because of all the work, he just had to know what to do with it. And so what happens in our Christian life is if we will obey the word that God is giving us, step over that offense, be nice to that person, exercise self-control and fasting, even when you feel nothing, read the word, spend time in waiting. What happens is God Almighty is working spiritual strength in us so that when we have to fight, there's this muscle spiritually that's been built that we don't even know is there. Until the fight comes and God, the Holy Spirit says, now step over that. And we go, okay. You know, or the next big decision comes. And instead of freaking out like we would 6 months ago, we pray because it has become a habit, because it becomes almost like a muscle memory. So if we will let God train us and listen to what his word says on a daily basis, that's how we grow in our Christian life. And that's why people who go all in, like, I am doing this Christianity thing. I don't care if I fail 100 times a day. I don't care if I have to apologize. I'm going to read my Bible. I don't care if I don't feel anything. I'm going to sit here and wait every day for 5 minutes, even if it feels like the clock just ticked and I just wasted time. You will grow in your relationship with God, because the thing that I've learned about waiting is that the word wait, as I've told you guys before in the Hebrew, means to bind together, perhaps by twisting. when we sit in the presence of God and we do nothing except just say, God, I am here just so that you will make me more like you. And I just come before God and I say, I'm here. I cannot do it on my own. No amount of perfection in anything in my flesh is going to get me there. But God, I need you. And I focus my attention on you. And I focus my attention again on you. And I bring my mind back from the grocery list that I was making in my head, or from the phone call that I need to make, or the, you know, issue that I'm dealing with my child, or whatever it is. And I come back to focusing on you, God. Just remember, paint the fence. God is working things in you. Wax on, wax off. God is building spiritual muscle so that the next time you have to fight, he can show you how, and spiritual muscles are being built. But it takes time. Even, you know, it's nice when you watch The Karate Kid and you're like 3 weeks and I should have this thing down, you know. It takes a lot longer. For me, I've been walking with the Lord as long as I can remember. And still sometimes I go, what am I doing today? What happened with me? It's just, we have moments that we fall. But if we will in those times go back to God Almighty, who is the coach, who wants us to succeed, he will help us. He will strengthen us. God, just tonight, God brought back a scripture to my mind from Isaiah 41. Fear not, for I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. God will speak. He will encourage. He will strengthen. So it was really cool that Rick mentioned Psalm 1 today, because that's what I'm going to be speaking about tonight. Do we have this stuff? Did the internet get up? So do we have... okay, they're working on it. The internet went out, so we'll see. I had a video and some slides, but we'll see if they work. But it was cool that he mentioned Psalm 1, because I'm going to be speaking on a couple of verses from that. So Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. We're going to start by reading that. Whether we're passing the baton or receiving it, these are important concepts that we get, because listen, the things that God is teaching you, he wants you to teach others. But if you're not learning it, then it's hard to teach it. So we have to be willing to not be hypocritical and practice what we preach and allow God to teach us. So Psalm 1, 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Okay, you can be seated. So the first part says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Something important to remember is who you're listening to will determine where you're headed. The people that have the most influence in your life will determine, like whoever you give the most influence to, those voices will direct your life. And so it is vital that we are allowing God to be the utmost voice in our life. So this is true for us no matter how long we've been serving the Lord, because the temptation is to listen to whoever is talking the loudest. Me and Char have talked about this, that sometimes it seems like, you know, the enemy or the flesh is just talking so loud. And the temptation can be to divert from what we know to be true, or what we've just read in the Bible, or what we heard at church, to divert to whoever's talking the loudest. And God doesn't always yell at us. Sometimes, you know, we think that would be helpful if he did. But if he did just went around yelling, I think this is a sad thing, is if I just yell all the time, what happens? People just tune me out when I'm yelling. Like if all I do is yell, they just go, oh, she's yelling again. You know, God wants us. But when somebody's whispering, what do? You come closer and you get real quiet so you can listen to what they're saying, so you can hear what they're saying. If God yelled at us all the time, we would just go about our way. And eventually, I believe we would just tune him out. But if we, because he's quiet, when he's not speaking, what we do is go, wait, God, are you talking? What are you saying? And we get still and we get quiet and we listen, and he will speak to us. So, the wise thing to do is to listen to the one who made us. and who sees our future already. We have to remember who it is that we're listening to, because when others are yelling loud, it's easier to divert our attention. But if we understand that God not only made us and saw us before we were born, He has a plan and He knows the future. We don't have to be afraid of the future when we're serving an almighty God who's already there and wants to walk us there and wants to show us how to get there. And so we don't have to be afraid of that. Psalm 31, verse 14 and 15 says, "But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hands of my enemy and from those who persecute me." Another two verses that I've shared lots of times, but I still live by them on a regular basis, is trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. In all your ways, and we're going to talk about the word way later, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, for he and he shall direct your path. Because way means course of life and mode of action. And everything that you do and everywhere that your path that your life takes, seek to know him and he will direct your path. So we have to listen to the right voice. And in order to listen to the right voice, we have to not be listening to the wrong ones. Because if we're so busy listening to the other voices that are talking, then we as moms, sometimes you learn to multitask and you can go, yes, no, what? But you can't, if you have five people all yelling at you, you cannot listen to all of them. So we have to move the other voices out. We have to hush the enemy. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I'm just telling you, sometimes when I get to the point and I'm like, God, I really don't know what to do. I don't know what you're saying to me right now. The Bible says in James 4, 7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And so I will say, Satan, I bind you right now. I am submitted to God. I resist you and tell you, you have to flee, so that I can get any voice that is not of God out of my head, so that I can hear what God is saying to me. And that's okay, because God is not offended if he's speaking to us and we don't know it's him and we bind the enemy. Because sometimes we're like, God, I don't know if that's you or the devil. If the devil's trying to push me to do something that maybe I'm not supposed to do yet, or if it's God, God's not offended by that. He knows our heart and he knows why we're doing and saying what we're doing. He knows our motives, so that's okay. Psalm 17:4, when we're talking about, we have to listen to the right voices. Do y'all have the PowerPoints? Yay! Okay, will you put up the first PowerPoint, please? Okay, and the video, yes. Maybe. Okay. Yay. Okay. Go back to the first one. Okay. Perfect. Okay. So Psalm 17:4 says, concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. In the New Living Translation, the same verse says, I have followed your commands, which keep me from following cruel and evil people. So listen, when we are walking towards what God is calling, we're walking with God, we're walking towards God's, in God's plan and on his path and doing what he wants us to do, there are going to be, our lives are going to intersect with people that are going to try to tell us other things to do, that are going to try to lead us in the wrong direction, whether it's family members or people at work or friends or, whatever it is, the enemy, the voice of the enemy, the voice of self that rises up and says, no, you deserve this. You need to do this, or whatever it is. And so if we will follow his commands, it will keep us from following other people. That is why we need to read our Bible every day. It is vital that you spend time in the Word every day, because then you reapply, you re-put in the things that are important. Most of us are in the world. We spend time, whether it's through television, through other people, we're hearing other voices. We have to allow God to keep our perspective on him. And one of the ways to do that is to read the Word of God. So It's vital that we follow his command, because when we listen to the one who's training us, he reminds us how to look at him, how to keep our eyes forward and to see, not to turn to the right or to the left, like the Bible says throughout it, and how to see what he's calling us and what he wants us to accomplish. It also shows us what to do in the midst of a fight. So we're going to watch just a minute of this video. This is in continuation from this morning. This is the second version of the Karate Kid. And I just want to show you, this is the battle at the end. So I love the smile on the face of the coach. Okay. Because, and you saw how he's throughout the process, he's telling him, okay, next time, no face. Sometimes I feel like the Holy Spirit has to say, okay, next time, don't do the face, you know, because like we're nice, or we step over something and we're like, you know, or, you know, we have the wrong, we do the right thing, but with the terribly wrong attitude. And the Holy Spirit is like, okay, you obeyed, but next time let's work on the attitude. Let's, you know, do it with the right attitude, the right way. But we are a work in progress, all of us. And I love that. I love that the first time he ran out of the fight. Now, this is what you have to remember. The enemy will show you that video over and over and over. He will remind you of how you ran away, of how you blew it, of your failure. God uses our failures to help us grow. He stands there and says, okay, next fight, next point is the winner. Come on, let's go. And he encourages us and he smiles at us and he reminds us. Like I said last Sunday, so many times we as Christians spend our whole Christian life thinking that God is mad at us. We don't ever see him as smiling at us and going, come on, you can do this. We have to learn who God is. God wants us to make it. He wants us to do well. He wants us to walk with him. He called us for a purpose. And so we have to see him as him going, come on, you can do this. Yes, you blew it last time, but you have another chance. I know for me, I've shared before that I am not a fighter. I would rather run. I am a flight. I you know, I'm not about a fight. But God Almighty showed me a psalm that says, he who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. God will show you how to stand and fight when it's time to fight. And he'll show you when it's time to just lean on him and let him fight the battle. So he fights with us. He shows us how to do it. So it's important when we listen to the one who's training us, he will remind us. You notice that Jackie Chan went, we have to keep our eyes where they need to be, because if we start looking down at ourselves and we start focusing on our failures and we start focusing on how we missed it last time or other people, like I've said over and over, I live by this stuff, y'all. I'm telling you, if you will recognize, why am I overwhelmed? Why do I feel like I cannot do whatever God is calling me to do? Why do I feel like such a failure? Who are you looking at? Every time, I promise you, if you're looking at yourself, you're looking in the wrong place. You were not the one on the cross that died. Jesus is the one on the cross. And if you will look at him and go, you said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You said that if I confess my sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The way that the enemy defeats us is he gets us looking at the wrong thing. We look at the fight, or we look at ourselves, or we look at other people who have blown it and failed, or we look at our frustrations or whatever. If we will look at God, who has already accomplished everything that is needful for us to make it, all of us can do it, because he is the one who's strong when we're weak. And so if we're not careful, though, we will end up leaving his path, leaving what he's called us to do, to follow other people's. Now, obviously, it's not wrong to care about other people. We're talking about passing the baton. We need to care about other people and what they're doing. We need to mentor. We need to love people. We need to reach out. But I love Psalm 101. It says, I hate the work of them that fall away. It shall not cling to me. If you start looking at the people that have walked for a while and walked away, it will discourage you. You have to keep your eyes on the one who walked all the way to the cross and then rose from the dead. And so we have to keep our eyes on him. We can't help people find God if we're busy following other people, if we're busy listening to the lies of the enemy. The way to be able to allow people to follow us is if we keep our eyes on him, following him. And so we need to follow him, because his counsel will last. Psalm 33, 10 and 11 says, "The Lord brings the counsel of nations to nothing." Psalm 33, 10 and 11. I said that really fast. "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." If we will follow his counsel, it will last, not only down here, but for eternity. So it's worth listening to him. Okay, I want to go back to Psalm 1. Will you put up the next PowerPoint? Verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he on his law he meditates day and night." That word, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law he meditates day and night. Now notice, I just want to show you, and then we're going to move on to the next slide. 1 Timothy 4:7, I didn't put the other part of it, but that's what that is. It says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." See, that is what he's walking towards. I have fought the good fight. It is a fight. "I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to also to all who have loved his appearing." As we are mentoring people, in order to be able to pass the baton, we have to keep our eyes on the future, on what God is calling us, on keeping the faith, on a crown of righteousness. Because then we can tell other people, listen, it is worth it. Yes, it might be a struggle right now, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. If you move on to the next slide, Josiah. Okay. It says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." That's one thing that we need to understand. God showed me in Hebrews, I think it is. It says, "But his commands are not grievous," or "they're not burdensome." And I thought, well, that's interesting, because honestly, sometimes they feel burdensome to me. Like the things that God asked me to do sometimes seem very grievous and very, very burdensome. But this is where we have to change our thinking, and we have to go, okay, if the Bible says that his commands are not grievous or they're not burdensome, then the problem must be in my thinking. The problem has to be that I shift my thinking and go, okay, God, if your commands are not grievous, then it must be the way that I'm looking at them. So I need to change my perspective of you and recognize that always what you're telling me to do is right and just and good and the right thing to do. And so we need to understand that we can delight. That word means to have pleasure. It's to see something as valuable. We can delight in the law of the Lord. Law, another word for it in the Hebrew, means precept. Precept means a command or principle intended especially as a general rule of action. So I have all of these different actions, because if we are delighting in the law of the Lord and in his precepts, so in commands or principles that are intended as a rule of action for our day. So all throughout the day, whether we're playing sports, whether we're hanging with our friends, whether we're with our family, whether we're at work, whether we're, you know, entertainment, whatever we're doing, that his law, we would keep in mind his commands, his principles as a general rule of action to live it out all the time. If we're meditating on what he says to do, then it's like the old "what would Jesus do" bracelets. We will just keep, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would God think about this? Like, how would God expect me to react here? And it'll show us how to walk. And the cool thing is that rather than it becoming a burden, see, Dre, when you watch The Karate Kid, Dre really begins to value and trust his mentor, Jackie Chan. I don't remember what his name is in the movie. Mr. Han, yeah. He begins to value him. That's why when Mr. Han says, "Next point is winner," and he says, "Keep your eyes up," immediately, like, Dre just snaps into action because he has learned to trust him. And if somebody had come up to Dre and said, "Hey," and Mr. Han wasn't there, and he said, "Hey, your teacher says, just go ahead and forfeit. He's not coming, and you're going to fail anyway." Dre would have been like, "My teacher wouldn't say that." Like, he would know, because he had spent time with him, and he would know that his teacher wouldn't say that. As we spend time thinking about what God says in his word as we spend time thinking about not just what God tells us not to do, because we can get caught up in just, I can't do this, and I'm not supposed to do that, and I'm supposed to act this way. And if we will stop thinking of it that way and start thinking in terms of, why does God ask me to do things, and what does it look like? If when we read the Bible, instead of just reading it for the history, which, you know, it's interesting to learn history, and it's interesting to learn what God said. But if we will begin to study His Word, not just to learn concepts, but to learn, how did God respond in this situation? What was He thinking right here? Why did He say that to that group of people? Why did He say it this way to this group of people? Why did He respond that way to Moses and that way to the other people? And we can begin to get to know God. The Bible says about Moses that the children of Israel knew his acts, but Moses knew his ways, because Moses has spent time with him. And so I challenge you, and I've said this before, but if you come to something in the Bible and you go, I don't understand, God, I don't understand why you did that. I've had that happen many times, and I think, God, why did you say that? Like, why did you say to destroy this whole group of people, or why did you do it this way? And if instead of just making a judgment and putting up a wall and, you know, between us and God, if we will say, God, why did you do that? And we will seek to understand Him, which is what we do with the people that we love. We learn, but why do you feel that way? Why does that matter so much to you? You know, how did you get this way? How did your thoughts get to where you feel that way? This is what we can do with God in reading the Bible and go, God, you know, Lord Jesus, why did you respond to Peter that way? We can, you know, look for the concepts, look for the character, look for who he is. And the Word can reveal that, because the Holy Spirit is the teacher, and because the Word is living. It is alive. It's not just reading a book. It's learning about a person from a person. It's powerful. And so, as we learn to trust Him, we learn to know His voice. And as we listen more closely to His voice, He can show us what to say to others. And that's how we can know how to pass the baton. I love Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord gave me this, this scripture, and I love it. It says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned." That's Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned. Listen, when I sit down and talk to people, and I'm, you know, if I'm mentoring somebody, or if I'm praying for somebody, or if, you know, somebody's asking for advice or whatever, I have try to have one ear listening to what they're saying and one ear listening to the Holy Spirit. God, what do you want me to say here? How do you want me to respond? Because it's not, they don't just need Shannon's ideas, or this is the way I handled it the last time that I dealt with it, or this is what I think you should do. And if we will learn to have our ears open, God can give us the tongue of the learned to speak what He would have us to speak. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The longer that I walk with God, the more that I realize that it's about Him instead of being about me. And the more that you realize that it's about Him and not about you, the more power you have to go, I can do whatever He's calling me to do. Because like I said earlier, when you're focused on yourself, you're going, I am not strong enough for that. I am not confrontational enough for that. I am not able to get over this temptation and over this issue or over that way of thinking or whatever. Say no to that, whatever it is. But as we begin to focus on Him and realize it really is about what Jesus did on the cross, and we learn to keep going back to the cross and saying, Jesus, it's either that I accept your forgiveness because you died on the cross, or I quit. And God doesn't want anybody to quit. The enemy wants everybody to quit. But God doesn't want anybody to quit. Like, He is the one who calls us. But we have to keep our eyes fixed on Him. That's why Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. It doesn't say looking unto Lou Dial as the finisher of her faith. If she was the one that was doing it, and she is a good example because, like, she's been serving God a long time. But it doesn't say that. It says looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. He is the one who finishes what He started. But we have to learn to keep our eyes on Him. 1 Corinthians 1:26-30. I'm going to wrap this up. This thing is about dependence. So much about dependence. It says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh." Now, if we read this, I just want to stop real quick. If we read this in the flesh, like in how I would view it as myself or as the people, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church here. It could be pretty offensive. Like, you see how you people, not many of you are wise. None of you, like, not many of you are very noble. Not many of you are, you know, he goes on to say, are mighty or are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. To put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things. Now see, if you're reading in the flesh, are you calling me weak? Are you saying that I'm foolish? Like, the Corinthian people could have been like, wait, so you're saying that most of us, none of us are noble, none of us are mighty, none of us are wise? But listen, you got to be willing to put the flesh on the back burner and not make it about you if you're going to walk with the Lord. Because all of us have to come to the conclusion, God, I am not wise enough to do this. I am not noble enough in myself to accomplish what you're calling me to accomplish. Because if I can, then I can only go as far as my strength will take me. And then I'm done. That's the difference about Christianity. It is about us allowing him to work through us because he has all the power. And so it continues. Where am I? Okay, to put to shame the things which are mighty and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So he went on to say to the people, go back to verse 30. But of him, you are in Christ Jesus. So after he told them, you know your calling. Like, just imagine if I was saying that to you. Now, you know that most of you, like, none of you are mighty. None of you are wise. Like, most of you are not noble or called. You know, and God is calling the weak. But man, when you realize that you need him, then it's not as offensive. Like, when you're trying to come in your own power and your own wisdom and your own might, then you can get offended. God, you're saying that I'm weak. You're saying that I'm, you know, that I'm not wise. But when you realize really who you are and how much you need him, you go, wait, there is hope for me. There is hope for me. I mean, God used Moses, and Moses said at the beginning of his life, when he thought he was Pharaoh's son, and he was like, you know, called, and he's like, I am going to show these people. And then he spent a bunch of years in the back of the wilderness, and he came back and said, I can't even speak. And then God was able to use him. So it's not that God wants us to know who we are in Christ. It's not that he wants us to go around going, nobody should love me. I'm just, you know, so boring and stupid. You know, it's not that. It's that if I am so full of myself, then I don't need him. And then I can only go as far as self will take me. But when I realize, but of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom. And the longer that we spend in the church, the more that we need to be convinced that it's his wisdom and his righteousness. Otherwise, we can get puffed up in ourselves, thinking, man, I'm pretty wise. Like, you know, I've got this together, you know. But if instead of him, if our focus is on him and we're continually realizing how great and how powerful he is, then he can do amazing things. So I just want to close with this last verse, Psalm 34, verse 22. It says, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. The word trust means to flee for protection, to run to God for protection. If we will learn to run to him when we're facing temptation, Because like I've said before, the easiest thing when we're facing temptation is to run from God because we feel unworthy. But what we need to do is run to Him and say, God, I need you to help me. I need you to forgive me for how far I've already stepped into this sin, and I need you to help me to get out. And I, you know, and we can do that. The Lord redeems the soul of His servants, and none of those who trust, who flee to Him for protection, shall be condemned. But we have to make it about Him. And if we begin understanding salvation, we begin understanding, I need Jesus. I need Him in order to be saved. We have to keep it about that throughout our Christian life. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, God, for your word that encourages us. We thank you that you are so faithful to teach us and show us what we want, what you want us to do and how you want us to live. I pray, God, that we would seek not just to learn concepts from your word, but to learn your ways. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.